Blog Talk Radio. A celebration in this room. And wouldn't you know it, Omi has the chance to talk to you about National Library Day, Teacher Appreciation Day, and now in May we'll be talking about Teachers Day. What's up with all of this celebration for teachers? We're being honored, that's right. We finally get our just say. Somebody's looking into the classroom and noticing that some of us have been doing a great job. Thank you so very much for acknowledging the teachers. I am also grateful that I am the one to usher in their appreciation. After all, I am a master teacher. That's right. You've been listening to a master teacher. I didn't tell you all about who I was, just some of the things that I do that I'm good at. It's my speciality to be a master teacher. Come in and listen to the master teacher read and give you a lesson about the Proverbs. You ought to be able to come and give Omi a few lessons too. It doesn't matter what age you are, I'm willing to learn from the young, gifted, and black. To be young, gifted, and black is the greatest thing that we used to say when we were coming up. It meant that you had youth. Your youth meant a lot to you. And it carried a ability to have power. Words have power, ladies and gentlemen. And your youth opens up doors for you. Don't ever negate the fact that because you're younger than me, you don't have power. You have power that you don't know about. Now try using that power when you read a story and inject and protrude your voice in the story. Let the people know that you bring a story alive. We're going to be taking trips in here and traveling all continents with just books alone. That's right. You can travel and you can go on the journey with Omi. Get your bus fare. We're going to be taking a bus to get to the local places. It only costs a dime to travel with home. You don't have to have dollar bills and big money. Get on the bus. Come on. Try it. You'll like it. After you begin to read stories, you'll get into the story and you want more and more and more. That's right. Tell your mommies to read your stories before you go to bed. Or you can come on out to Borders Bookstore on April the 30th and listen to Omi live reading special stories like At the Edge of the Sidewalk, Falling Up, where the sidewalk ends, I mean, and that's by Shel Silverstein. I'll be reading all of his books. Come on out and listen to me. I'm going to make books come alive for the children. That's right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I've been going on and on and on about all of these holidays for teachers. I'm special. Special. That's what they used to say when someone was special. And I don't mean special Ed, and I don't mean special K. We're special because we do something so unique. Every day we take somebody's children and we transform them into human beings. We engage them. We induce the knowledge that's already been placed there, and we pull it out of them. We don't teach children. We engage them to the environment, so the environment must be set up appropriately to cause these children to brisk across books shelves and begin to engage in learning. And believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are African-American parents, your children do learn through osmosis. I found that out about 5 years ago. If I set my environment up right, African-American children have the ability to use their very melanin to encompass the frequency and learn through osmosis. So don't take it short or strange when you say, do you think you're going to learn through osmosis? They can. Believe it or not, check it out. You'll be able to read it in my new book that's coming out, the new book about the effects that females have on African-American males. That's right. We're going to look at their culture and see what effect it has on the child. That book will be coming out hopefully this fall, and you'll be able to read all my research that I've done for my graduate degree, of course, and you could debate whether or not the African-American male learns differently and whether or not the females affect them in the classroom. I don't want to go on and on about that. That's for another topic. Let's get ready to go into the reading room, if you care to read, and sit down and get ready for our segment. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we're continuing on the subject of African proverbs, and we're going to aim at the lesson to focus in on recognizing the characteristics and the function of proverbs. If you can join me right now, I'm going to do our talking cure so we can get that out of the way, because you know that bus comes around fast, and next thing I know I don't have my fare ready, and then they're pushing me and shoving me to get on the bus, get on the bus. So I have to be ready. So let's get ready to do our talking cure. This is so important. I wouldn't leave it out if I didn't have to. It's important to pray before you do anything and acknowledge those whose shoulders you stand on. And as I light the candle from my mother's side of the family, I say Ashe. Please be quiet as we do this ritual. That's right. You need rituals in your life, African American, and you must keep them. Don't let anybody tell you that you don't need these rituals. And don't let anybody tell you that they're taboo. We can never die. Energy never dies, so our ancestors are always with us, believe it or not. I light the candle for my father's side of the family, and I say Ashe. I pour a glass of water for my father's side of the family, and I say Ashe. I pour a glass of water for my mother's side of the family, and I say, Ashe. I wash my face so that I am not greeting the ancestors with a stale face. I have to keep my face clean and dry. I pour libations to the east, and I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the west, and I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the north, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the south, and I say Ashe. Ashe. One of the things I wanted to tell you about Upper and Lower Egypt, since we were in this particular topic, is that south is considered as up in Egypt rather than being down. So when you go to Egypt, don't say going down south, because you're going up south in Egypt. Now, you have decided to go to Egypt, haven't you? If you haven't, I want you to remember, don't go looking for Egypt somewhere else over in Europe, because Egypt is in Africa. Egypt is in Africa. Egypt is in Africa. Egypt is in Africa. Egypt, Egypt is in Africa. Remember that when you get to Egypt, and I know you'll get there someday. We've been talking a little bit about the ancient kings and queens and some stories from that era of time. Yes, you're related to the Egyptian, and your Kemite, your Kemetic from the burnt skin people, Nubian, say it with me, Nubian people, African Kemetic Nubian people. Who came before them? That was the Twa people. Who built the pyramids, you ask? Was it some extraterrestrial alien from the Mars or sky? No, it wasn't. The Twa people were here then. They were little short people. But you said, Omi, they built the pyramids. How did they get up so high if they were short midgets? Well, they didn't have to climb very far. They have imaginations, and they used them. Just as you should use yours to do telepathicking, and telepathicking meaning to use the mind to lift things with. African Americans, you will be so amazed at what our Egyptian people dealt with and what they created. You have the same Zoe life that they have. Your intestines are still the same as an African intestine. If you spilled your guts in the streets today and an African spilled theirs, African American, they wouldn't be able to detect whose intestines were whose. You still have the same diet after 2,000 years, identical to your African brothers and sisters. Now, I'm not going to get into all of that. That makes for another whole story, but we're going to talk about some proverbs. As you know, your mama probably told you in church, child, go on over there and get them proverbs and read them and get some wisdom and understanding. And in all you're getting, get wisdom, as wisdom cries out in the courtyard. Wisdom is known and depicted as a she. Women do have the most wisdom. Didn't you know that? We tend to have the intelligence of the spiritual side of God so we can speak on it. So go ahead on and speak on it, parents. If you want to talk about wisdom to your children, tell them a little something about wisdom and the Proverbs. I'm going to go right into my lesson here as I talk to you about the Proverbs. Proverbs is giving you wisdom before the fact, sister. That's all it is. And as I talked about the African Proverbs and made some suggestions about the parallels before, I tried to introduce you to how children can use these Proverbs to help them with good character and good conduct. We want to recognize the characteristics and functions of a proverb. How do you recognize a good proverb versus a bad proverb? There are African proverbs. I am because we are, and because we are, therefore I am. That's an African proverb. What do you get from that, Omi? You get that I can do nothing by myself and of myself. And if you succeed, I succeed. And if I help you get up the ladder, you can help someone else get up the ladder. That's an African proverb that you can get wisdom from. I'm sure that you know more than that. And if you would look at some of the books that are out there, The Dead Man's Path, and look over in Unit 11, you'll find great proverbs that you can read for days. I'm not going to bore you with all the proverbs, but I will tell you this much. Folk tales are very, very important. Don't let anybody fool you. Folk tales are something that could have happened, but they're different people's names that have been placed in the folk tales, and they've been carried through the century and carried by our ancestors and passed on. Which African proverbs suggest that the opposite of these sayings, for example, the absence makes the heart grow fonder, meaning that the absence makes the heart forget. And as I told you, when you read proverbs such as, I watch pot never boil, what are we saying here? If you watch your pots and pans in the kitchen when you put food in them, your food won't ever burn. Use common sense is what it's saying. Now, proverbs are something that you want to get down pat if you're in the African-American church, because you're going to hear about these proverbs throughout the sermon. And I don't have to tell you what they are. You probably heard dry bones before, and you got the message out of dry bones. Now, what was that all about, Omi, you say? That was about some bones that were laying dormant in the graveyard, who they said, we go back to the dirt when we die, and when nothing happens to us, and that's it. It's a lie. Energy could never die, nor could it be recreated. So the energy just got on up and started frequency around the room, and they begin to say, them dry bones started moving and kicking it around the graveyard. It's because the energy of the frequency in the body was still vibrating, even unto death. That means that we can't die. We believe in reincarnation as African Americans. As you know, if you're an African-American, you should believe in reincarnation, because your ancestors have not gone anywhere. No, they haven't gone up in that great big old sky up there that you oftentimes look up there and wait for Jesus to come down and say, in a minute, Jesus is going to come down and rapture all of us, and we're going to be caught up in the sky. Nonsense. There's no aliens up in the sky right now that's been caught up in the sky. Your place is here on earth, and your spirit reservoirs throughout this earth, not up in Mars, not up in Venus, but here. believe it or not, you will come to understand it more and more each day. Because everyone who's gone to the atmosphere in the sky to look for heaven, they've not found heaven. And that's Omi's Proverbs, like it or not. Now, here's another one of Omi's Proverbs. It doesn't take a village to raise up a child. In fact, it takes a parent to raise up a village. Because if you don't have a parent to create a home, there's no need for a village. That's Omi's Proverbs. Now, I'm giving you this because as a minister, I'm trying to make it real for you. I'm trying to make it plain for you so that you won't get so confused with all of this hogwash that they want you to believe. Oh, my God, if we could just get over these fairy tales and what they've been telling you out of school, fairy tales and allegorical stories, my goodness, the allegorical stories that they have told adults and how we've taken them to heart. And if you take them away from the adults, they might perish. It's a shame that we are now grown-ups and we're still believing allegorical stories. We've got to let loose of some of the allegorical stories. If the Caucasian told you that what you have is a heritage and most of your stories are folklores and they're not traditional, then you ought to believe that some of what has been written in the mutilated book has been allegorical stories. Say it with me. An allegorical story could have possibly happened. It could have had some proverbs there, what could feasibly happen, but more likely than not, it didn't happen. Now, if you could understand folklore, you will understand these allegorical stories, which can sometimes be written off as proverbs. Now, when you go in to do your sermon, preachers, make sure you preach the thing right. Make sure you understand and know what you're talking about when you tell somebody about the Trinity and how there was only men involved in the Trinity when the spiritual side of God is a female. How could you, how dare you leave the female out of the Trinity when we're the heart of the core, when God said, there was none but me, and I turned myself in myself. The only thing that can turn their self into themselves is a womb. That meant a woman had to be present as God. So how do you have the audacity to leave female out of the Trinity? Women, think about it. Stop flying in there with your hats on, turned backwards every other Sunday, a different way you're wearing it, so you can feel important. You are important in the church. You are the most important entity of the church. Without you in the congregation, there is no church because you are the spiritual side of God. That's one of Omi's Proverbs. Like it or not, it's my Proverbs. You can take it or leave it. I'm telling you truth so that you won't get all flustered over this nonsense that we've been carrying on as truth. Some of what you know as truth is only allegorical, fictitious stories. And I'm telling you the truth. How is it that there was a flood that happened and different parts of the continent at the same time? Our time zones are not even on the same time, let alone our weather frequency. How is it that you had a flood in Europe when there was a flood going on here in America, when at one time Europe didn't even exist? So they had to be allegorical stories, not proverbs, but allegorical story. Probable causes that they might could have happened without the same people, but they put the people there. Now, African Americans, wake up. When you start reading about the proverb, you got to understand what it really means to recite a proverb, and you got to set your own. Now, I want to warn you, African Americans, that reading is very important and it's fundamental. And because we've got to get ready to get out of here, we're going to get on the bus so that we can get ready to come back here again on Friday. So get your stories together and get your proverbs together and get your change and your fare and let's get on the bus. Thank you so much for listening to the Proverbs today. I certainly appreciate it. show up. And we'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place. Baba Booey, get those dirty dozen ready. I'm out of here.